going to be starting in Genesis, but we're going to go back for a little review, because last time some of you were here, some of you weren't, when we started. As everybody knows, Cain killed Abel. That hasn't changed. And there's all kinds of people's thoughts on why Cain killed Abel and what led up to Cain killing Abel. But the biggest thing is his failure towards God was the reason why he killed Abel. That's what I believe. I mean, all the other reasons that get leading up to it and all that stuff is not in the Bible. People project what's in the Bible, and as you read more narratives, you get more and more confused with what is the truth. And I really believe that is that when a lot of those narratives, they tell you their view, but they don't tell you it's their view. They tell you like it is what happened in the Bible. But I find it hard not to understand that Cain killed Abel because of his failure with his sacrifice to God. And he knew what the sacrifice should be. So he knew Abel was accepted, and he knew Abel's sacrifice. So it wasn't really hard to figure out. But do I want to change? Do I want to stop? There's a lot of that that is hard for people. And God announced his punishment. No longer receive the strength from the ground. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And a fugitive is a person who has escaped from a place or is in hiding, especially to avoid arrest or persecution. The vagabond, a person who wanders from place to place without a fixed home. And it's funny, that was what the Lord said Cain's punishment was. But Cain tells the Lord he can't bear his punishment. Isn't that amazing? He commit a crime and know he wants to pay the penalty for their crimes. It's beginning. And near the beginning of time, it's the same thing. If somebody does something wrong, well, I can't bear that. Why should I have to go through this? Why? It's me. Why? But it's throughout history that people have never accepted what they've done. And if they think that the Lord knows, doesn't know what they've done. And that's what the amazing part is. And the Lord was very merciful to him, because he was afraid for his life. He took somebody's life and he was afraid for his life. So he got a mark that when anybody did anything to Cain, they would get sevenfold back. Now, Cain, with that, you hear it later on in 16, that he built a city. That ain't being a vagabond. Here he goes, right against God's thing. He built a city. The biggest thing, I mean, if you build a house on a hill and you hide there, I can understand, but to build a city where you're standing out, and then where he built the house. He built the house in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And if you go back to Genesis 8:2, the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. So, why was it that particular spot? I found it very interesting. They picked that spot to build a city. Was it in defiance? Was it to show the Lord to be able to be in the area where the Garden of Eden was? Because it wasn't far. Nod was east of Eden. The garden was in the east of Eden. So it's amazing that he picked that spot to build his city. Because because that was probably the only spot that was suitable for a surgery. Yeah, I don't believe that. I believe he did it as a rebellion, just like building the city was a rebellion. I believe the place where he built the city was a rebellion. The other thing was, he added to the punishment. He was removed from the face of God. God never said that there wasn't a way back for forgiveness. God never told him that he could never see the face of God again. But his choice was that he would not. He said it: "I will not see the face of God." I mean, he cut himself off. And he did it himself. There was the other thing he did himself. He not only killed somebody and then their punishment, but he made his punishment worse by not looking towards God. And I just find it amazing that he has that. And then you go through his genealogy. We did. I think that's where we made it to the end. And you have Lamech. He kills somebody, and now he wants to deem that if anybody touches him, they're going to pay 77-fold. You see the pride in that is that, okay, if Cain can kill somebody and be protected 7-fold, I can kill somebody and be protected 77-fold. It's man's ability to take what God's, the mercy of God, and think that he can make it better. I mean, God's merciful to us. He gives us our breath every morning. And people don't look at the breath. They think that they can breathe. But God gives it to us. And people don't look at it like that. It's I'm going to be 70. I'm going to be protected 77-fold. I can name my own protection. And that is what sinful man believes. I believe they thrive on it. They hold on to it. They say, oh, God's merciful. Yeah, but he announces his mercies. He doesn't let us announce our mercies. And he's not going to be merciful to sinners that don't repent. And by going against him, I believe is what he does, what they do. And then we got into, we were beginning in Genesis 5. Now, I'm going to read, unless somebody else wants to read, because I am a butcher of these names. I'll be honest with you. Genesis 5. That's where we're starting this week. That was just a little review of what we went through, and believe it or not, that's all we got through last time, because we had a big discussion on quite a few of those points. That's why I want to bring them to remembrance. Okay, this is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years, and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 800 years, and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years, and begot Cainanah. After he begot Cainanah, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Cainanah lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. Yeah, my tongue don't move like that.
I was going to name our next kid Methuselah Mahalo. Because it means his death shall bring the blessed God.
Okay. After you got...
But I wasn't letting people babies it.
And after you got Mahalalel, Cana lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Cana were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enosh lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enosh walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 365 years, and Enosh walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son. And he called his son Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years. And he died. And Noah was 500 years old when he begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, I just, when you read it, you can read through it and just say, okay, but it begins with Adam, with the line. They don't mention who was before, because it clearly says the line of Adam. And it starts with Seth. But we know that Seth was not the first one. It's because it's in the Bible. It tells us that. And it says, Abraham, and after Seth, he had sons and daughters and lived 900 years, or 800 years. So, he had sons and daughters after the birth. And then you have Noah, had Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Was there any before him? Before them? We don't know that. Before Shem, Ham, and Japheth. It was 500 years. Before, you watch all the other, because...
You mean after the flood, did he have more?
No. Before that. Did he have any children before that? Because it only starts with the line.
Is
that Adam? It's the genealogy of Adam starts with Seth.
Yeah, but...
But he had Cain and Abel before that. So could Noah had other children that weren't in the line?
Oh, no.
I don't know this. I don't ponder on it. But, you know, it seems like it's one of the questions that they all go after the big flare. If you ever watch all the things that people question, is they question the things that cause... But it's interesting to wonder, though, did he have other children? Children that he knew he was going to leave behind.
Maybe they were all women, they just don't count.
Well, but it says sons and daughters.
Oh.
It does say sons and daughters in there.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. But it's just, I just find it amazing that he waited 500 years to have children. If you read everything else, it just seems strange to me. That's why I picked up on it. It seems like a little... So, I don't want to get too far ahead of me. According to some of the different talkers, and it tells you in the next chapter, that's the sons of God went after the women of men. So did they get led astray by women. Did the women go off and marry? You know, you don't know this. And I'm not speculating. I'm not saying that Noah had other children. Believe me, I'm not. But it's something you can think about, because building the ark then was more of a decision for Noah. If you think about it, he wasn't just he was allowing the judgment to come through him, and it could have been more than just the people, because now the people, okay, who died in the flood?
Everything.
Yeah, but no, of all the lineage of because
Methuselah died right before.
Okay, did he die? He lived the longest. Did he die right before the flood or because of the flood? Because the timeline is right there.
Right around.
Yes. So he could either die before or after. It's if you add up years, but a year is 365 days. So to say that it was he died in the flood, even though the numbers add up, he didn't. You can't say he did, because it doesn't tell you that. You can speculate. Okay, but because the whole reason I started getting into these numbers was I was told that Noah knew Adam. And I was told by and I believed it. You know? I never back checked. And that's what I believe. When we're told something, it's not just to accept it because somebody that's prominent or something says that. And it's just like reading those commentaries. You can get into those commentaries, and I tell you, they can take you on a long journey. And do you really believe that those journeys are what God wants us to take? You don't know until you start going down. But the whole thing is if I look at it, what people, other people say, like there's one that says that, okay, the daughter of Lamech, his Tubal Cain's sister, was Naamah, and that's in Genesis 4:22, that was Noah's wife. But I find that hard to believe, and there's two different Hebrew philosophers. I'm not even going to guess what their names are. Believe me. You think I'm bad with those names? They're even worse. They are so sure that... You left out, man.
Oh my God.
But they give that such a sure fight that she was Noah's wife. That I was like, how can they say that? Where is that? Where, you know, because it never tells you who Noah's wife is. And then they go back into the next chapter and they explain why. But in my personal opinion,
there's chocolate stains on this.
Uh-oh.
It's
old. Well, I think he had some chocolate.
So mine's humanity is stained.
Oh yeah. But if you look at him, Noah, we were going to get to it, but we might as well say it now. In Genesis 6:9, we'll call part B. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation. Now, if God puts that in the book and tells me he's perfect, he can't be being influenced by a wife that would be considered a sinning wife or a wife of that was against God, because he was perfect in his generation. But people say, you know, you listen to these two guys and their philosophy, it sounds sound. But anything you say can sound sound. You can write. But if you can't back it up with what the Bible says, how can you say that it's for sure? And these people stick with it.
Well, I think what you're saying is true, that is that there are things that the Lord, that the Word doesn't speak to, and so we don't know the answer. Like, for instance, you're talking about sons and daughters. How many sons and daughters did that? I just did something thing, of course, you know, an AI system.
We're in trouble.
It says, according to the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve had three well-known sons, Cain, Abel, and Seth. However, geneticists have identified lineage descending from 10 sons of Adam and 18 daughters of Eve. Now, I don't have any idea how you split this up. But that's kind of interesting. I mean, I never really thought about it, but I'm sure that they had to have had many more children.
Yes, because the other thing was where did the wives come from?
Well, and what did the Lord tell them to do?
In 5:4, it says that 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters.
Yes.
Obviously, because a lot of people always say, well, where did Cain get his wife? Well, it had to have been one of Adam's sons, or daughters.
Yes.
You know? So, I mean, it had to have been. Right? Because there's no other, it had to be from.
Yeah.
So then you wonder, the question comes up to me is, okay, so why did they wander away from Adam and they go to the east of Nod? Because Abel goes east of Nod and finds a wife. So, like, why did his kids leave from that area and go somewhere else? Do you know what I mean?
Well, Cain moved away because he was moving away, like, he was being a vagabond.
Yeah, I understand that, but he went there and he met a wife.
Well, or did he have a wife before he left for there?
Well, didn't it say?
See, that's what I'm saying is you can draw a whole bunch of conclusions, but what I look at it is, okay, it would have to be pretty simple because Adam and Eve were the first. They populated, the population of Earth all started with them.
Mm-hmm.
So Cain's wife had to be one of their children.
Right.
And could it have been a sympathetic sister?
Or could have been one of,
But you see what I'm saying? Is you know how your family members cling to some family members and you wonder why?
Yeah.
But could have that happened?
Could
the Gerber
family?
Oh, yeah. You could put us up in there. You're a big clan with that. But you got to be, when you look at this, it's a lot of easy words to read, except for the names. But there's a lot of more in here than what you read. And it's just, I believe what he writes in here is what we should believe. And that is what I think is missed with a lot of these commentaries. Because both sides, just like me saying that Cain's sister, wife had to be one of Adam and Eve's sister daughters, that he took, that's all speculation. That's not...
Yeah, but it doesn't really say
that
God created Mary Lou and Joe, and they had kids.
But it's still an assumption.
It said that they populated the earth, so we know that they populated the earth.
Yes.
Right? So it would have to be a
sister. And that's why I say I believe that it was a sister.
It could be.
And I would even go further, is how it's written that God gave them another son. That there were a daughter or two before him, because it's how they word it is that God gave them another son. So if they went through
intermarrying, it's no wonder we're all a bunch of
idiots. Well, that's when we were smart, though. You got to understand that. I think we were smarter back then as humans. I think now we've adapted a lot of stupidity.
Anyhow. Historically, everybody said the people back in the ancestry years old, they were clever and not as smart, but then we can't figure out how they built the stuff they built.
Yes.
So in verse 12,
three, but after 30 years, he fathered his son, his own likeness according to his own image, and named him Seth. Does it also mean there that he didn't have any children between in that first 130 years? I don't think it says that.
No. That's what I'm saying, because you know they had Cain and Abel.
And then if you think, we'll just take the Gerber family.
Okay. You're in trouble, man.
100 years, in 100 years, how many births have there been?
But see, then you go to the
population of like Pennsylvania, probably.
Yes. But then you got to go to some of those philosophers again that believe that women couldn't get pregnant for every 3 or 4 years. You know, there's all kinds of study. Yes, you read and you listen to their different. You take all these different things that are just written about this little stuff that how they come up with this stuff. I'm just like, how does it work like this? You know, how can you say that? There's no proof, but you can make a statement that says, and this is how you can tell, because how many children are projected to be from each person and stuff like that. And
how many directives did Howard Murray have?
How many?
The lift or?
Probably, but that would be probably the 10.
From their direct descendants is the 10.
Well.
Then you have their extended family, which would be to include the things. It's up to and grandkids and everything. It's mom before she passed had what 101.
105.
I'm sorry.
Mom. Yep. She was only 102.
105.
There were 105.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now that also includes ones that were brought in by marriage, adopted children, and mom considered all of them her children. Yeah, and it, well, the three that were in heaven. So that's
any idea that Howard and Marie were going to corrupt the universe like that?
Well, I know, that's unbelievable what they did. Yeah, look.
Hey, it's hot. You know that ancestry.com only goes back so many generations?
No.
So Tariq, we would have had to have had another 7 years.
Because if they come share the truth, they're going to prove that everybody's from one couple.
Yes, of course they would, but that's But you see what how I'll say this. You could take, and you ask some of my other brothers and sisters. There wasn't 105. There's only 100. There's only because they don't think that people that are not born of their brothers and sisters are really part of the family because they're not blood. But I went with mom's thought that everybody that she considered part of her family was part of her family.
Did that include the three that died?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Still alive. That was still.
That was still alive.
That was her. Those were alive.
Yes. Well, maybe they were two. I don't know. I'm
one. They had three.
I know.
Your wife.
Yeah, I know. And she always lets me know when I'm wrong, doesn't she? But that doesn't mean I can take the other stance, does it? You see, that's...
You could say that having, you know, tell you their name.
No, okay. We're getting off track here. Let's get back to the Bible study. Get away from the hurdlers, because they're in trouble.
Yeah, that might be easier. That's what you
call it. Okay. Okay, because we already talked about the flood. Okay, that's okay, man. I was right on track, and I wasn't even reading my notes. Okay, now we're in the chapter 6. We only got 6 minutes to go, but I just want to get through the first 4 verses because that's leading up to everything we were just talking about. And how people can imply stuff. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. there were giants on the earth in those days. And also afterwards, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, those four verses have so many commentaries and so much stuff on it. And they talk about, let me get the word right, the sons of God were of Zephon. That was one option. The second option was the Nephilim, which were spiritual beings, or fallen angels, or whatever, however you want to word them.
Job.
What's that?
Job.
Job.
Yeah. And the sons of God came before the prince.
Yes.
The same.
Okay. And that's the one that they always repair. But see, if you turn to Job, that's, they all say that it's Nephilim. And I have a hard time with that. Because in the beginning, everything leading up to this, the only time that Satan was mentioned was when he deceived Eve. And I just find it so hard that God's going to take Eve being deceived and leave out them and never include anything like that in the story of Cain. He never brings it in. And so if we turn to Job, and it's Job 1:6 and 2:1. Okay, Job 1:6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord." Okay, who were those sons of God presenting themselves before the Lord? The angels. Right?
Bar Elohim.
But then it goes on to say, see, and this is what I think is missed by a lot of people.
First, did you say it was Job 1?
Job 1:6.
Oh, 6.
The Lord and Satan also came among them. So was Satan as a reference to the sons of God?
Ask that question again.
Was Satan as a reference as a son of God? Because the sons of God were there, and also the Lord and Satan. Why did he have to be specifically called out if he was a son of God? Go ahead.
One thing to say that the word when it calls him Satan here, it should be capitalized.
Okay.
It's not a proper name.
Yes.
It's an adversary. A Satan, right?
An adversary.
Like mine's capitalized, but it's not his name.
But,
like it's not calling him that.
What I'm saying is, if all these beings that were against God were still considered sons of God, then, because like we're people of God, why? Because we believe in God. We hold God, hopefully, to the position He wants us to hold Him, because we can never see Him at the position that He is, but we look towards Him. And so, why does it have to call out the adversaries were there, or the Satan is there, or because?
Well, it could be just like the disciples, okay? Jesus says, "Oh, hey, there's 12 of them, and one of them is a betrayer."
That's right.
One of them. So it's in that same light.
But
hey, you're the sons of God, and there's also an adversary among them. He was there too.
And they were, and he was angelic, I guess, in his right.
Okay. Well, here's where I get my really big discrepancy. Because if you go to Job 38:7. Job 7. And not Steve. Okay. When the morning star sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Yes.
Was his adversary, was Satan there shouting for joy?
Might have been.
I don't believe so either. That's where I find that, those beings were created by God, but they weren't following God. And God holds his people as separate, and I believe he holds his sons as separate. Because, okay, if that's the case...
Well, that is a question mark.
Well, yes, it's a very big question mark, and it's where the Lord leads you. And it's very prominent, because this is, I believe, something that God wanted people to look at. Because there's things we don't understand. I mean, we don't understand everything. But what I don't understand is if they can take the women, why do they have to... What's it? When the guy, the entered, what's that called? Possessor. Why do they have to have possession? Because they can...
Because they're mimicking God.
Yes. So, I don't understand if you can have... Why you need possession if you could just take the women and create their own line. I mean, it's... Because God simply says that people breed after their own... You know, it's all the animals, all the, and people are the same. And so it's hard for me to wrap around that God would create something that would so take dominion over people like that and leave it go, because God does stuff what's best for us. We screw it up. You know, it's not God allowing it. It's we mess things up. It's plain and simple. And they say, well, there's giants. How do you explain giants? Well, there's giants then, there's giants now. It's a gene. It's something that's, and when it comes together, it's more pronounced.
We need to work on Mike a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah. You can beat me up. I don't care.
No, because mixed people in our fellowship, this is an area where we can all agree to disagree.
Yes.
And still have salvation and grow in Jesus.
But it's just hard because they say look to the other parts of the Bible, and you look, and you can find battle against. Even in what they were saying was for. I've seen what was against. And I wasn't even looking for what was against. I was reading the commentaries, reading the things, and putting it in, and I'm like, okay, so why does he have to be called out special? It's just hard. It's very hard for me to think that something has to be called out special when they're already included. And it's just like being the people of God. When you know you're included, how many people just think you're the people of God?
Can I give you a quick moment of view? Like,
yeah, no, 3 minutes.
No time. So an alternate view / summary would be that, so one of the questions is, why does Satan have such an issue with man? Why does he hate man? So think about that for a second, okay?
Okay.
So, because that's a question, okay? So my understanding, and I believe this, is that when God revealed the plan he had for man, which is eventually for man to sit in his council in heaven and judge angels, that there are some in heaven of the sons of God, the heavenly realm, the heavenly council, who didn't want that plan. And so there was a plan afoot to attempt to get God to hate his people. And one way is for them to come unto the daughters of man and create a seed that is not Holy Seed, is not God's creation. And so when the sons of God came into the daughters of man and produced Nephilim, that's the production, that's Nephilim comes from giants, that was an effort to corrupt the seed so that God would destroy them, which actually happened in the flood. So I think that's...
And that's why you would believe that it says he was perfect in his generations, Noah. He has clean.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's veiled.
I also read that. But here's the thing. I don't think that Satan, the devil, or hates man. I think his hatred is God.
Oh, yeah.
And he uses us as the pawns.
Absolutely.
And we are not... We're in his game right now. We're on his earth.
If I want to hurt Mike,
yes.
I don't have to hurt Mike. Or your kids.
Yes.
The worst hurt.
Yes.
And I think that's the same thing that the enemy does. If he can get, I mean, the best thing we do is bring glory to God. The worst thing we can do is bring dishonor on God because of.
And that's why I brought out the point about Noah. If he had other children before the lynch, of the hurt that it would have been on Noah.
Yeah.
It would have been heavy on Noah's heart. That was why I looked at that. I read all those commentaries, and I also stuffed more stuff in the bag because I didn't say, oh, yeah. And it makes it tough to see that, you know, we as people are so vulnerable. And I believe there's spiritual beings, and they are at war, and they're at war virtually for us because they want us to fail in God's sight. And that's what the whole thing is the devil saying, come to hell. You know, you hear all these great things. It's a party down here. When Christians know, there ain't going to be a party. It's going to be the worst of any party you've ever been to, if it is. And, you know, so you have this going on with these spiritual beings going at each other. You have the angels protecting man, and you have the other ones attacking. So it just makes it tough. It's just the sin. Yeah. Okay.
There's lots of things that make you go.
Yes, in the Bible. And yes, I believe there is a possibility for Nephilim, but I'm still not convinced that it was right there. Because I think that the Lord was still trying to keep the people together until they finally did. And he said, forget it. I got to start over again. Because he was going to do that again. He was going to do that with his own people. Should I just screw all the people and let Moses start the population all over again? Because he said that. You know, it's tough when you see it, how his people were sinning so greatly against him. I mean, you think this is hard, you look at when they left. They left Egypt and all the great things they seen, and then he's up on Mount Sinai, and they all turned against him and started doing idol worship. Think about that. But that's man. We do it ourselves. I'm not saying the Satan ain't tempting or anything else, but we allow it. We accept his temptation, just like he accepted the temptation. It's not something that we're going to be able to stop all the time. But the thing is when you are tempted and you do fall, you always got God to turn back. And that's what I see. I mean, because we are very sheep-like people. With that said, I think we ought to close in prayer because people are going to start coming in. Lord, I just hope these words were the words you wanted me to speak today. It wasn't an angry conversation. It was just how great your words are and how man uses them. And we pray that everybody is blessed by this and everybody is fed your word. In your name we pray. Amen.